This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
What is up, Zoneheads? Welcome in to another end-of-the-week edition of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. We are officially in the post-Orlando Magic season portion of this podcast, but things are just heating up. Man, it took you guys 24 hours to mourn the loss of a Game 7 before you all were on to the next. I mean, there were plenty of people after the Magic lost in Game 2 that were ready to talk about the offseason, let alone losing in Game 7. And look, I get it. You're excited. I'm excited. This team, I felt, was better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. The statistics actually back that up. The Magic were the better team in most key statistics across the board. I won't run down the list, but they were better. Point differential. Let's just use the most basic one. If you look at the point differential on the series because of those two blowouts in Orlando in Games 3 and Game 4, the Magic actually outscored the Cavs in seven games. But look, they lost. Donovan Mitchell's a superstar. He's been at this a while. He's been in the playoffs every year of his career. So credit where credit is due. And I am enjoying watching them getting an absolute beatdown from the Boston Celtics in the next round. But credit to all of you, because you're savvy. You are savvy listeners of this podcast, of our live show in the Zone. You know that even though it was disappointing, this year was a huge success for the Magic to end up in the five spot, to push a team that's playoff tested, that is legitimate, to a seventh game in round one. That is all that you could have asked for. And then on top of it, and the most important part, even though those two things are excellent in their own right, is that you have officially discovered that there is no doubt that you have a superstar, a tier one star. Paolo Banchero is going to be an all-NBA guy for years to come. He is so good, so polished, so poised. He stepped up in the moment. He did not sink because of it. Each game he got better in this series. So that is the biggest win of all, because you can't win in the NBA if you don't have stars. He's a star. Franz left some question marks. You know, we love Franz Wagner, but is he going to be the star that is the co-star, the Robin to the Batman, or is he an Alfred, as J.J. Redick would say? So that still remains to be seen, but I don't think there's any questions about what Paolo is. So back to your savviness, because you recognize that this was a win across the board for the Magic, and that really the fight to become championship caliber starts now. The Magic now have a load of cap space because of how patient and measured this front office has been over the last couple of years. There's cap space. There's draft picks. There are tradable pieces on the roster. The Magic can make a major move. They can make a couple of minor moves that make a big impact in next season. We don't know how this is going to go, but I'm dedicating this episode to a compilation of everything that was discussed over the course of the week, kind of in one nice, neat package, so that if you just wanted to catch up on where we're at, the cap space, the players in free agency that are available, what the Magic could do via trade, and everything in between, the off-season outlook right here on Zoneheads Orlando after this. Let's take a quick pause in the action to talk about today's sponsor, Diamond Dog Athletics, run by my guy Nick, a veteran-owned and operated apparel and sportswear company that specializes in creating custom apparel for teams of all ages. I'm talking baseball, softball, bats, gloves, catcher's equipment, uniforms, hats, and hoodies, you name it. By creating custom high-quality uniforms that the players will love, they'll look good on and off the field. And by using the best gear and equipment on the market, it will encourage them to continue to put in the effort needed to make it as far as possible on the diamond. Take a look for yourself. You'll be blown away with what you see at Diamond Dog Athletics on Instagram, or you can send Nick an email, diamonddogathleticsllc@gmail.com. Back to the show. We're talking to Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, about the Orlando Magic and the outlook of the offseason ahead here. What have you heard from your sources, the people that you talk to, about how aggressive or measured the front office of the Magic will be with the flexibility they've created for themselves. This has been a very patient group outside of blowing it up, so to speak, with Vooch and Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. All of their moves have been on the minor side, not on the major side.
Yeah, I mean, it's been methodical. The one thing to keep in mind is that they have to spend the money. How the rules are in the CBA, you have to spend 90% of your salary cap by the first day of the regular season, or there's a significant penalty here. So I think they're in a position to go out and be aggressive. Does being aggressive meaning you're going to go out and give Klay Thompson 4 years, $160 million? I don't think so. I don't see that. Does that mean you're going to go out and try to get Paul George for $221 million? I don't see that kind of in their DNA. Could you get, whether it be Klay or Malik Monk or one of these, these shooters for 2 years at a pretty good number, and it aligns with the rest of your roster and stuff, and it doesn't hurt the development? And I think that's kind of more where you would see them be aggressive. I think it's interesting, the two guys we haven't talked about at all is, the two guys they picked in the lottery last year with right. Anthony Black and Jet Howard. I mean, those guys, it's like as good as Orlando has been, like when you're picking the lottery, like you better make sure those guys can come in and contribute eventually here. And I think it's a big offseason for both those players there, just based on guys that were drafted after them. Both these guys have a lot of upside here, but there were guys that were drafted after them, whether it was Yakes in Miami and Brandon Podzimski in Golden State, kind of win now players, guys that you can throw on the court right now. So I would keep an eye on those guys as far as from a summer league standpoint. So I do think they'll be aggressive, but I think aggressive to the point where, as I said, you're throwing down a 4-year max contract on a player, I think is probably a little bit of an overreach.
No, it's spot on with Anthony Black and Jet Howard. I think that's the most underrated part of this offseason. It's almost like adding two free agents because those guys weren't even utilized last year, and now you get to throw them in. The Magic need a playmaking point guard and shooting, and they already drafted that last year. So if those guys hit, in some ways they're already good, but you're asking a lot for both picks to hit.
No, you're right. I mean, the good thing is that, certainly Anthony went through it a little bit as far as he did get it, started a bunch of games, and, he'll go through probably summer league again. And, with Jet, another year of development, even just being there to see, playoff type basketball and, how it impacts you as far as what you need to do as far as getting on the court.
All right, I want to ask you about a couple of players in particular. You mentioned Klay Thompson. The rumor out there was the 2 years, $48 million offer from the Warriors from the back end of 2023 to keep him on board. Would the Magic be able to get him at a price like that, given the difference of state income tax? It's actually like getting paid more in playing in Orlando rather than playing on that contract in Golden State. Or will the Magic have to pay a premium if they can, in order to get a player like Klay Thompson?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a matter of what his loyalty is to Golden State. Where does he see him? Does he want to finish with them? I think if it's your contract for contract and both are similar, then even with as high as state taxes are in California, I think you would certainly give Golden State, an advantage there with that. I mean, I think, if you came up and it was, 2 for $60, somewhere in that, does that make some more sense for him? So I think Malik Monk is certainly at a lower number. One thing you have an advantage with is that Sacramento is restricted as far as what they can offer him in a contract because he has early bird rights. The most is right around $18 million. So they can't offer more. So if you want to go in that, certainly that direction, you can get a guy that can start for you, a guy that can come off the bench, a guy that can close games for you. So they'll have, there'll be certainly some options there as you said, it's just a matter of kind of how much are they willing to spend on these guys.
Paul George rumors have been out there since your colleague Ramona Shelbourne threw it out there that there's mutual interest between Paul George and the Magic and Philly's in that mix as well. Do you think the current state of the roster is appealing for an aging player? And I guess vice versa, should that a player like that at that age, that star value, be appealing to the Magic because of what you said about not upsetting the development?
Yeah, I would have concerns paying a guy $50 million who's 34 years old, and this was the year that he played the most games in a long, long time here. And how does that contract age when you when you're going to add another $40 million player with Paolo 2 years from now? Would it make sense? Hey, if you offered him two for $100 million, I would do that. You know, I mean, yeah, on a 2 year kind of a 2 year window here, so. I think from Paul George, I think you're looking from him and you're looking at, you know, it's the Clippers. And then how can we kind of get other teams in the mix, whether it be, you know, certainly we'll hear a lot about Philadelphia. And certainly when you hear about Orlando, I don't think, you know, Oklahoma City makes sense at all where that roster is. It gets to the point where it drives up the price a little bit. And if you're the Clippers, you're like, well, can we afford to lose him going into a new building? We're not sure about Kawhi's health. James Harden is a free agent here. I just don't see it making sense for 4 years. Basically take him into year, I think 38, and he would be making, you know, $60 million. That's a tall number.
And I think we're all of the opinion, hey, this team got to the 5 seed. They pushed a team that has playoff experience to a 7th game in the first round. Now's the time. You want to strike while the iron's hot. You don't want to sit on assets like this. So I think most of us are of the opinion that, okay, it's time to put the pedal to the metal a little bit. Magic GM Anthony Parker told us yesterday, we have all the options available to us. We have the cap flexibility and the roster flexibility to do what we need to do when it's time to do it. And all that really tells us is that they have options, they have flexibility, and they have the roster construction leverage to use that if and when they are ready. And we will continue to bring up names on this show until free agency is over and done with in mid-July. But I think it's important to set some tiers, set some expectations for how we feel about these players and how they could integrate into the Orlando Magic lineup as we wrap our heads around what this team needs to do next. So I've developed a 4-tiered system of Magic player of potential off-season acquisitions for the Magic. And I have named, because I can't just say tier, I have to come up with names for my tiers. Tier 1 is the going for it tier. This is the tier of players where if the Magic were to say, we want to acquire them, they're trying to at least represent the East in terms of making it through the playoffs. Tier 2 is noticeably better. They are definitely improved adding one of these players from where they were the year before. Tier 3 is quietly better. Just a guy that is going to help, but it's not really going to change much. And then Tier 4 is keep them away from this team. I'm going in the other direction. Tier 4 is the tier of players that you will all think about, and it's a bad idea. So I will get us started here with Tier 1. This is the going for it tier. Paul George is, and this isn't any in any particular order. Paul George, player option, scores 23 points per game, 39% from deep. Playmaker, scorer, defender. He is getting a little bit older. He does have an injury history, but he still remains one of the best two-way bigs or two-way wings in the league. DeJounte Murray, he's in the going for it tier. He's disgruntled, you would assume. 4 years left on his contract. He's getting paid $27 million per year. That's an attractive contract at this stage in the game in the NBA. 36% from deep. He's an A-plus defender and fits the mold of what the Magic want to be. He's only 27 years old, so I like that too. And then Donovan Mitchell. If you can't beat him, join him. And we saw what this guy can do. He's not my favorite star in the league, but he is still in his 20s. He checks a lot of boxes of what the Magic need. And he's got a player option in 2025. So if he kind of puts the pressure on Cleveland of, hey, I'm not going to sign long-term with you, then they might have to trade him on the cheap. So all of the options I'm coming up with are at least somewhat realistic. DeJounte Murray would be the least of that group because he still has 4 years left on a deal, but Atlanta would be better off to just reset and get value for the guys that they have. So I'll pause there. That's my going for it tier. Paul George, DeJounte Murray, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, a couple of names that I'm assuming that you'll be throwing out here in tiers 2 and 3. Certainly some that I have labeled in tier 4 that I'm very confident that you'll be going with. All those guys, they certainly fit a going for it category. Paul George immediately makes your team better just by him being here in Orlando, on the court, off the court, the veteran presence. It's an attractive fit with Paul George, or at least an enticing and exciting one at that. DeJounte Murray, again, we talked about it yesterday. The contract details is why I like it. $30 million for a guy like DeJounte, who's still younger and can grow with this team, I think is a good call. And I think Donovan Mitchell isn't even the guy that I'd want most from the Cavaliers for this Magic team, but you can't deny the offensive skill set on him.
So here's the thing. As I thought about the other one, Darius Garland, I was looking at his contract. I just don't see Cleveland moving off of him.
Mm.
He still has several years left. It's a pretty favorable deal for them. I think a player like that, because there wouldn't be that sort of pressure, it would actually be more expensive, in my opinion,
right,
to trade for Darius Garland because of what he has left, rather than if Donovan Mitchell were to say, I'm leaving, then all of a sudden his price tag goes way down in a trade. I don't think Darius Garland is attainable, but I would agree with the sentiment. But Donovan Mitchell's still the better player. So
definitely,
if you're trying to go for it, you need to add, if you really want to go for it, you have to add a bona fide star. And Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, there's no question about, are those guys star-level players? And DeJounte Murray, I think, is, you know, less than those other two, but he's still a star-level player. Tier 2 is the noticeably better tier. These are guys that I would give the thumbs up and be like, damn, that's exactly what this team needs. Great job by the front office. Does it make them a championship contender? I wouldn't feel as confident to say that, but it does make them noticeably better, which is why I called the tier that. D'Angelo Russell is one. Now, I know a lot of you are going to hesitate with that one. 41% three-point shooter, sort of a ball hog at times. Maybe Mosley can kind of get that out of him. He's got a player option that he's definitely going to opt out of, so I think he's going to become a free agent. 18 points per game. That's with LeBron, AD, and Austin Reeves on his team. This guy can score. You want buckets? He can get you buckets. Malik Monk is another one that's probably my favorite one in this noticeably better tier. 15 points per game, sixth man of the year. I think he could be unleashed as a starter with the Orlando Magic. I think he'd be up to like 22 points per game or more. You like the culture that they built in Sacramento. He fit like a glove there. I think he would fit like a glove here. He is exactly what this team needs. Klay Thompson, I know what you're thinking. Well, we just talked about how we don't want Klay. This is with a caveat. At the right price. The issue with Klay Thompson is that his name far exceeds his play on the court. He's not a $40 million a year player anymore, and that's probably what he thinks he is. It could tank the Magic for years if they get caught up in the allure of his legacy, but the guy can still shoot, and he still has pedigree, 39% from three. So if you want a shooter, he's out there, but don't overpay for him. And then KCP would be the last one in this tier. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's got a player option for $15 million. I think he'll decline that. Knockdown shooter, he's also got a ring, just 31 years old, 40% three-point shooter. And he only shoots 4 per game, so he's an efficient three-point shooter. That's something the Magic need. Not so much volume, but efficiency. So that's the noticeably better tier. D'Angelo Russell, Malik Monk, Klay Thompson, KCP.
I thought Klay was going to be in the fourth tier, no doubt about it.
I originally thought that too.
Even with the price.
But that's the thing. If you get him at the right price, I think he does make the Magic better, so I couldn't put him there.
Yeah, I guess it's in the world of realism, what is the right price that Klay would have any chance of accepting that would fit for the Magic? Because, yes, he is a shooter. There are other shooters out there that fit the timeline and the finances better than what Klay Thompson does.
Okay, and then Tier 3 is quietly better. We don't really need to break this down because it's kind of boring names. Tyus Jones, a good rock-solid point guard, defensive, knockdowns threes. Okay, he does all the little things you want the Magic to get. Malik Beasley, that's a knockdown three-point shooter, doesn't do a whole lot else. Bruce Brown, a little bit shaky in terms of three-point shooting, but he does everything else. He would fit the Magic perfectly. Jose Alvarado, I think the Pelicans are going to pick up his player option. He's really cheap, but he's the kind of point guard the Magic could use, playmaker. Sadiq Bey, you brought him up yesterday. I like Bey. And Spencer Dinwiddie is a solid three-point shooter. He would kind of fill that guard role. So those bores me. That bores me, but it does make the Magic better. So I'm not going to dismiss it. And then tier four is keep them the hell away from this team. Trae Young, Buddy Hield, Caleb Martin. I want no part of these guys. Buddy Hield, every team this guy is on, they don't get better. So I like him, but clearly I'm missing something. The proof is in the pudding. No team gets better with Buddy Hield, so there's something going on there. And Trae Young, if it's the same thing, when Trae Young is off the floor, the Hawks get better. That's not the kind of people you want to invest in. And then Caleb Martin, come on. Caleb Martin is a player option. I'm guessing that he doesn't re-up that, and that is such a Heat thing. Him being successful is just, that's a Heat thing. Let that be a Heat thing. Don't get in bed with that. You can't recreate it. That's where I'm at.
Couple of very quick thoughts.
Yes.
Where's Anthony Simons?
What is his contract
situation?
He's
under contract. He would be like trading for, in this situation, like trading for, I guess, a Mitchell is, he's off contract sooner. DeJounte Murray, it would be like trading for DeJounte Murray, essentially. They still have years under their contract.
I would put Anthony Simons in the noticeably better tier.
Yeah, Simons signed a four-year, $100 million.
Yeah,
last year, so he still has years under contract.
Yeah, I just don't see them moving off of him. He fits the build of what they're going for. I just don't know why they would look and go, we've got to trade this guy.
Okay, and I'm putting you on the spot here. I know we need to get to break. Gary Trent Jr., does he fit anywhere with that name being mentioned?
Yeah, I think I'm not blown away by him. I think he's more in he would be at like the top end of the quietly better tier. Mm. That's a positive addition. That's what that tier is about. These are positive additions, but it's not like you reshape your opinion of the Magic because that guy is on your team.
He was the highlight of my NBA.com advanced stats deep dive today for this topic. So he's going to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. He's making $17.2 million last year, 25 years old, fits the timeline. He shoots 43.1% on catch-and-shoot threes. The only players to shoot at least that percentage or better on 4.5 attempts per game, Steph Curry, Grayson Allen, Luke Kennard, Sam Merrill.
All right, well,
so
noticeably better indeed.
A mix of a volume and quality shooter, and he's played at least 65 games every year in Toronto.
Okay, so maybe he jumps a tier with stats like that. I do like Gary Trent, but I think the Magic can shoot for a higher-ranging player with a little more upside, and that's what we're looking at here.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own, you've got a business to worry about, and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media, at Brandon Kravitz, across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show, I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
It is a somber vibe among the listening audience, but it is amazing how quickly fans are able to pivot to the offseason. And you live in this space. Does it still amaze you just how much fans are focused on acquisitions, sometimes even more than the games themselves?
Yeah, it's been ramping up for years and years and years. And I think for most fans, most of the sports they follow are 12 months now, right? I mean, there's just no break. There's always something to think about, talk about, project, predict. And look, there's even reputable shows having schedule projections, predictions for the NFL right now. So every piece of every sport is now dissected to the nth degree.
I think that might be where I stop short, is schedule predictions.
As I was saying it, I was worried you had just had one.
No. I'll leave that on the cutting room floor. So the Orlando Magic enter the offseason with the projected cap space being around $32 million and it could be more if they choose to make it such. I don't think they move off of Jonathan Isaac on that team option, $17 million. But from what I've read, they only have 2 years to spend it. And I think I know the answer as to why, but I'll ask you because you'll explain it better. Why do the Magic only have a 2-year window to spend their available cash?
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody gets older. You know how this works. And unfortunately, when you get older in the NBA, it takes between $25 to $40 million just to get a talented superstar player into his second contract based on where this NBA salary cap is headed. So, yeah, the window for premium value is certainly within that 18 to 24 months. And look, I would imagine Orlando tries to stagger this thing as much as possible. But, you know, I think I'm reading you properly here. I don't think the sky is falling. We've talked about this before. Minimal change, some additions. Certainly use the cap space while it's available to you because there just aren't going to be significantly good teams like Orlando that have ample cap space to bring on somebody without giving up really a significant piece backwards.
So knowing that Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs are both eligible for rookie extensions, mm-hmm. and they're going to get them, and then Paolo, whenever it becomes available, they're going to sign him to a max deal. Those other guys won't get the max, but they'll get a lot. So with that being the case, is there a length to a contract with a newcomer, you know, whoever that might be? If you wanted to go pie in the sky and say Paul George, or you wanted to shoot at a lower range and say Buddy Hield, something like that, is there a length to the contract that should make Magic fans uncomfortable based on when those other salaries kick in?
Yeah, that's interesting, right? So, you know, your max bringing in a free agent would be the 4-year. I don't know that anybody we're talking about outside of Paul George here would be at that max level. But I would imagine that you'd want to bring in somebody, especially if it's even a second-tier player like you're sort of referencing here. You want them under term as long as possible. So I think in that regard, Brandon, you're thinking differently. You're thinking about what you're going to get out of them on the court for the next 2 to 3 years, and then having term to be able to flip from a trade perspective. That's how many of these operations have to handle. You can't just be thinking we're going to be good forever. This is going to be our roster for the next 4 to 5 years. You have to be thinking chess, not checkers. So I would imagine that Orlando's front office isn't thinking so much about 1-2 year contracts. They're thinking about if this player is worthy of us keeping for a bit, then they'll be worthy to trade in 3 years as well, and that'll actually keep us ramped up in terms of where this roster can be for the next half decade.
A lot of talk about who the Magic can go after. We've had that on this show, and we'll continue to do so. Rather than throw a bunch of names at you, I would just ask about a simple philosophy. Do you think it would be smarter, given the way the team is made up right now, to spread this cap space out with 2 or 3 mid-level players, or go the superstar route? Paul George is the available free agent, assuming that he declines his player option. But you and I talk about this all the time. Sometimes if you really want to get better, you got to say, screw free agency. We're going to go via the trade market. So I would say that that's also an option. If you're in that position, if you're in that seat, are you going with the small pieces that make you better or the big piece that puts you over the top?
In this league, you need a little bit of a both. I think Orlando already has depth. Not enough depth, but and certainly not enough experience depth. But I wouldn't want to shuffle that up too much. So in this specific instance, and I don't think there's many of them across the league this offseason, I'd be thinking superstar. I'd be thinking it's time to drop that one single piece into this group because the more pieces you add, the more new you bring in, the more issues you may have from a chemistry standpoint. And I think the chemistry of this Magic team is excellent from coach all the way down to the 15th player. So there's 11 roster players right now. You could probably make it 9 pretty easily. I'm bringing a superstar and a bunch of exception players in and letting 2024 be that. And if that doesn't work, I've still got a chance via the trade in 2025 to go the other route and try to make it 2 to 3 pieces and just sort of band-aid whatever happened in 2024.
We're talking to Mike Gennetti, our go-to sports financial analyst from SpotTrack.com. Who else is going to be a major player in free agency? The Magic have a bunch of cap space available. I've heard OKC and Philly have a lot to work with. Are those the big competitors for a team like the Magic?
Philly specifically. They've been ramping up to this moment for about a year and a half to the point of where they haven't extended Tyrese Maxey, which looks ridiculous to the average NBA fan, but it's actually calculated. They want to be able to come into this offseason with 100% maximum assets. They're going to have it. they're going to be Orlando's biggest contender for everybody, for every point guard, for every superstar player, for every trade candidate. Certainly OKC, but look, if they go deep, I don't know that they're going to ruffle too many feathers in that roster. So it remains to be seen, I think, how much of a player they're going to be in the offseason. And I'd certainly throw San Antonio into this conversation because we've seen enough of Wembanyama to know that it's probably time to start pushing the gas pedal down a little bit. So they're going to have cap space. They have a coach that can be aggressive when he's ready to be so, and I think they're going to be contenders this offseason as well.
All right, yeah, they should be. I would hate for them to – they should start going for it. I'm in full approval of that with the player that they have, and I want to see what it looks like, too, with him not playing with a bunch of G League guys. In terms of the eight teams that are still in the playoffs, is there a through line? Is there any one thing that you've seen in the way that these teams have been constructed financially that you say – and maybe eight is too many, and this is a conversation to have when we get to the conference finals, but is there a common characteristic of the way these rosters are built financially?
I think for the most part, and you could even include Boston in this conversation, maybe not so much Denver yet, but for the most part, they all have that one big trade piece, right? That one piece that didn't exist 18 to 24 months ago that has just taken that team over the top, right? And you could even include Rudy Gobert in this conversation, even though we're still allowed to hate that trade and everything that came with it. He has worked out. He has been a major factor, certainly Porzingis and Holiday in Boston, Indiana with Halliburton. Everybody has that one player that wasn't homegrown, that wasn't home developed, that is now the major impact piece in this postseason. So I would be looking for that piece, if I'm Orlando, to make it to the second round next year.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Diamond Dog Athletics. Custom baseball and softball uniforms for kids of all ages. Look good, feel good, play good, and email them today. Diamond Dog Athletics, LLC at gmail.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. If you like the content you hear, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll keep it coming. Zoneheads Orlando on Facebook and on Instagram, the Orlando sports content that you crave. We appreciate you checking us out, and if you keep coming, we'll keep cranking out content. Talk soon, Zoneheads.